President Kelly, Speaker Arch, and members of the 108th Nebraska Legislature, family, friends, and distinguished guests, my fellow Nebraskans. Over the past 11 days, Nebraska's experienced historically brutal winter weather. Sub-zero temperatures, back-to-back blizzards, unrelenting, paralyzing winds that much of our state stranding hundreds of travelers, preventing farmers and ranchers from getting to their farms and taking care of their livestock, shuttering businesses, challenging our power grid, threatening safety and commerce of thousands. To meet this emergency, Nebraskans helped Nebraskans, just as we do in every single time, countless times before. State troopers, sheriffs, deputies, police officers, our first responders, snow fighters from across the state moved swiftly to rescue those trapped by the storms, clear roads, dig out our communities, and agriculture. These brave men and women represent the best and the backbone of our state. Public servants who rush into the storm and into harm's way to help their neighbors. It's because of them and because of the resilience of the toughest, hardest working people in this land that our state is as strong as ever. In the balcony today, to my left, we have the Nebraska State Patrol Sergeant Jesse Pfeiffer, Air National Guard Major David Strom, Department of Transportation District Operations Manager and Snow Fighter Tim Koning. We thank them for their tireless service to Nebraska, and I ask you to join me in recognizing them as representatives of all of Nebraska law enforcement, first responders, National Guard, and highway workers. Could you please stand and be recognized? Thank you. You know, we must never forget the reality of the hazards that our public servants face every day, keeping us safe and getting us to where we go. This past year, we Nebraska lost two of our DOT highway workers in the line of duty. Their names, Mark Wells and Dave Schwartz. I ask you all to join me in a moment of silence to honor their memories. Thank you. 1 year ago, time flies, doesn't it? I stood before you in this incredible chamber and pledged to be governor of all Nebraskans, and to build relationships with all of their representatives. It's been my honor to do so. We did not agree on everything. God forbid if we did. But we certainly agreed that our kids are our future, and we never, ever give up on our kids. United by these principles, together in 23, we accomplished much for Nebraska's future. We took major steps to make sure the state meets its school funding, promise to every kid in every district by investing in the $1 billion future fund to support K-12 education. This included a critical step forward in foundation aid of $1,500 per student and an overdue increase in special education funding. We invested in our workforce by guaranteeing state funding for our dynamic community college system to help increase to trade school degrees. We passed the Opportunity Scholarship Act, which will ensure that needy students from every corner of our state that have a chance at a good education, a school that will be the best fit for them. To no one's surprise, the success of this program is obvious, with thousands of Nebraska kids already expressing interest in it. We're joined this morning, several are with us, including scholarship recipients Naya Bell from Omaha and Destiny Curtis from Norfolk. Naya is a junior and Destiny's an eighth grader. Please, if Naya and Destiny could stand, please welcome these students to our chambers this morning. On a side note, we talked in the last hour about all of us being comfortable, being uncomfortable, to grow and get better, and they knew all about it. You guys are awesome. It's good. tough stuff. Sadly, union bosses and politicians are trying to rip scholarships away from kids like Nye and Destiny. When everybody'd understand that, that wouldn't be the case. I will fight to protect what we've worked hard to pass last year and call upon this body to do the same. Last year included major achievements in other areas. We took a big first step toward addressing mental health, the challenges throughout our state, with a unanimous creation of certified community behavioral health clinics. 2023 was a groundbreaking year for fiscal conservatism as well. We agreed that the state government was spending too much money and taxing its people too much. We tightened our belts. We passed a historical conservative budget with only 2% growth. We agreed that taxing our senior citizens on Social Security is not the Nebraska way, and we ended it. Congratulations. We finally made our income tax codes competitive with our neighbors by reducing income tax rates to 3.99% by 2027. Agriculture is the heart and soul of Nebraska's economy, and we made big investments in its future and infrastructure. We supported value-added agriculture by increasing consumer ethanol access. We created strength in the Nebraska Broadband Office, which will leverage once-in-a-generation resources to ensure rural Nebraska businesses and farms and families can connect to a global economy. Thank you. That's a big deal. And we created the financing tools needed to finally finish our state highway expressway that's been underway for over 40 years in our state. We defended the unborn by restricting abortions beyond 12 weeks. We will continue to embrace life here in Nebraska with the launch of a year-long Culture of Life and Initiative. It will provide resources to expecting moms, especially those in crisis who need support more than ever. Much more remains to be done, but this legislature should be proud of its investments in Nebraska's future. I can't thank you and commend you enough for our work together. Thank you. Thank you. We Nebraskans are a people grounded in our values. It's about faith, family, freedom, life, and love. We are a place of rich opportunities and one of the safest places to live in the world to raise our family. We have the gift of belief. It's among our greatest strengths that we believe we can compete with anyone, anywhere in the world. And we can and we do everywhere across this state. Blessed with these traits, our economy can weather any storm and emerge stronger. Our economic diversity is the foundation of this resilience. If agriculture slows, our manufacturer keeps Nebraskans at work, and vice versa. Our banking sector, much of which is family owned and deeply familiar with the businesses and the farming operations it serves, it provides the stability and liquidity needed for growth across the state. Because of sound, prudent regulation and a low tax burden, Nebraska has become an insurance capital, attracting strong companies, creating thousands of jobs, and an industry that today ranks in the top three in the United States. Yeah, that's incredible. And I might add, we're not too far from just passing Iowa as well. Our public university system has world-class healthcare and biosecurity assets which attract patients and experts from across the globe. We are a sophisticated national security hub, hosting STRATCOM at Offutt Air Force Base and providing the nuclear deterrence necessary to secure a troubled world. To support and grow these incredible economic assets, among our chief goals in state government must be to get government out of our way, reduce regulations and bureaucratic hurdles, and empower people and business to thrive. In our administration, we call this operation Clean Out the Closets, in which we try to identify every statutory and regulatory mandate that adds needless costs to healthcare, education, senior care, business of all kinds. We can do much in the executive branch, but we need everyone's help so we can partner with you to complete this task and stay vigilant against new costly mandates. Together we can get government out of the way and focus on its core functions, right? Focus government on our core functions: safety, education, and infrastructure. This legislative session will be short and fast, but it holds incredible promise and opportunity for our state. There is a tremendous amount of the people's work we must accomplish to make this a better, safer, and stronger place for every Nebraska kid, family, business, and farm. If we are thoughtful, principled, and keep the interest of all Nebraskans before us, I don't have a shadow of a doubt that this has the opportunity to be the most impactful legislative session in our history. First and foremost, the most important economic issue we face is out-of-control property taxes. Anyone that has been out in the state, I've been everywhere in the last 3 years, by the way, property taxes, it's property taxes, and property taxes. This crisis is not new. It's been hurting Nebraska's farmers, ranchers, homeowners, and businesses for most of all of our lifetimes in this chamber. High property taxes hurt every Nebraskan in every single part of our state. It must be fixed now. Property taxes are so out of whack, you don't even need to own property to be adversely affected. They are the most regressive tax government imposes on its people. Fixed income Nebraskans who have lived, worked, and raised their families here now face the prospect of being forced out of their homes due to out-of-control property taxes. That is unacceptable, but we have several proposals for all of us to work together to fix it. Senator Linehan has introduced a hard cap on local spending, which can be overridden only by the vote of the people. This measure is critical, as only a hard cap will force our local governments to finally curb spending. Senator Dover has a bill that will repurpose existing credits so all property taxpayers can benefit from this relief, not just those with the best accountants. His bill will also add $1 billion in new property tax credits. Critical of all of these credits will be front-loaded so that property taxpayers will see them directly under property tax statements instead of hanging to go through an onerous process to claim them in their income taxes months later. Through hard work, collaboration, and setting politics aside, we must find the revenue to support this property tax relief. Senators Von Gerleren, Kauth, Meyer, Merman, Albright, and Linehan have offered several bills to close tax loopholes created by special interests at the expense of the middle class. We have examined over 500 agency cash funds, and we will transfer $274 million from those to support property tax relief. And just in case you're wondering, after that transfer, in those 500 cash agency accounts, we still have $2.49 billion, that's with a B, billion dollars in those cash funds. And that's not even counting the $1.25 billion in our general and cash reserve fund. So add that up. It is not the job of government to hoard cash, and we must give it back to the people. We must lower our overall tax burden, widen our tax base, and end the era of special tax breaks. Tax policy must benefit our state as a whole, not whoever has the best lobbyist. With these changes, Nebraska property tax bill will be cut by 40% this year. Thank you. I know, I have 100% confidence that there is the will, the good faith, and the knowledge and the ability in this chamber to solve it. And I pledge to work with all of you as long as it takes to get this done. Nebraska government remains too big at every level. Since my inauguration, we have been relentless in searching for efficiencies, cutting costs, ending bloating contracts, and working to meet the performance improvement targets this legislature set out before us last year. We must do more, including by structurally reducing the excessive number of boards and commissions that have been built up in Nebraska government over the years. At last count, we have over 200 state boards and commissions, many of which are redundant or oversee activities that can be eliminated. Senator Brewer has introduced a measure that would eliminate 48, about 20%, of our boards and commissions. It's a start. I urge the legislature to make the most of this opportunity to shrink unnecessary government. For over a century, Nebraska has been the land of opportunity for newcomers. For years, we have used income tax abatement as our main tool to incentivize companies to come to Nebraska. This has yielded many success stories and thousands of good, well-paying careers for hardworking Nebraskans. But going forward, we must make sure we are not giving our topsoil away. By giving incentives to foreign companies who view Nebraska merely as a conduit for cheap electricity, free water, and cheap labor, we must align our economic incentives to strengthen not only value adding new businesses, but also Nebraska-owned, Nebraska-led businesses, which have been building our economy for generations. That is why I'm working with Senator Linehan to reform our current incentive package to make Nebraska's incentives competitive in the manufacturing sector for Nebraska-grown companies. While we want to create and incentivize great careers in Nebraska, we must focus more on recruiting people to the good life. We must retool our incentives to be people-focused. One priority brought by Senator Brewer will be strengthening the ranks of our great Nebraska National Guard by exempting its members from state income tax. While significant, this is the least we can do to honor them for all they do for our state and our nation. Thank you, Colonel Brewer. Thank you for your own service and your commitment to the armed services. Thank you, Colonel Brewer. We will incentivize new Nebraskans to join our private workforce too. Senator Ballard has introduced an innovative bill that will give Nebraska businesses credit for bringing new residents to our state. Passing this bill will be another investment into our workforce. But we must recognize that investing in the 21st century workforce is far different than what we've ever done before. No longer can we focus on tax breaks on companies that are takers, not givers, and do not share our values. With input from our working group that focused on workforce development over the past 6 months, we've come forward with proposals in childcare, early childhood education, housing, and general education. I've partnered with Senator Bostar in legislation to create a micro center network. This will allow local communities and businesses to get creative with existing space and resources to meet their child care needs. To build the housing we need for our workforce, we should invest an additional $25 million into the World Workforce Housing Fund. All across rural Nebraska, the demand for workforce housing is so great that the homes are sold before the doors are even hung. But it's just not a rural issue. Housing affordability and availability is an incredible issue in our metropolitan communities as well. Part of the shared problem is local over-regulation of affordable housing. That's why I'm partnering with Senator Lowe on lowering the regulatory burden for affordable housing. A recent UNO study showed that regulation as a component of construction is over $40,000 higher here in Nebraska than the national average. Simply makes no sense and unacceptable. We must cut the red tape out and make our homes more affordable in Nebraska. I'm partnering with Senator Waltz to break down the barriers for potential teachers to enter the workforce. I ask this question all the time. I'd like us all to think about it. Who are the top three people that impacted your life the most? I guarantee when we take the time to think about it, all 49 of us will answer one of the three is a teacher or a coach. And I tell you what, if someone would have told me that or I would have known and understood that impact, I would have been a coach. It is one of society's most important professions impacting our young people. That is why we must allow for reciprocity of teachers coming from another state and simplify how to apply for and receive teaching certificates. teaching shortage is a crisis. That way more Nebraskans can easily choose this honorable profession. Finally, I'm working with Senator Linehan to change our incentive credits to direct them toward housing, child care, and early childhood education for Nebraska. Outside the building, the state government must do more collectively to allow our institutions of higher education to meet the workforce needs of tomorrow. I look forward to partnering with our University of Nebraska, our state college system, and community college system to launch the One Nebraska Initiative. The goal will be to eliminate endless duplication and inefficient competition between our state-funded schools, along with finally harmonizing and strengthening our Regents Scholarship Program. We will make sure that our higher education keeps our best and brightest here and trains them to lead Nebraska into the future. These efforts will stop the brain drain, will welcome new Nebraskans, and will help businesses, ranchers, and farmers thrive. And speaking of attracting people to Nebraska, it's really, really tough to do with this slogan that says, Nebraska, not for everyone. Are you kidding me? We must bring our economic development, our people recruitment, and our tourism promotion work back under the same leadership so that they can be better coordinated and run at less administrative expense to the taxpayers. Senator McDonald has a carryover bill from last session that would correct a decade-old mistake of separating tourism from economic development. I urge you to pass this bill so we can again tell the world the good life is here in Nebraska for everyone. Nebraska has become a mecca for women's athletics, with our women's sports drawing tremendous inspiration and excitement from all over the world. Our female athletes are superstars. Supporting our women athletes takes more than just buying tickets and watching games. It also means protecting them in the arena and in the locker room. Simply put, I don't want my granddaughter to bear the fundamental unfairness of competing against a boy. And I certainly don't want her to suffer the indignity of showering next to a boy. That goes both ways. Our boys shouldn't be sharing showers with girls. This is common sense stuff that the overwhelming majority of Nebraskans support. Senator Cal's Sports and Spaces Act, also carried over from last year, reflects simple Nebraska common sense. I believe in sports, I believe in women's sports, and I believe in protecting women athletes, and I urge you to pass LB 575. We have also included in our budget proposal funding that will enable us to take advantage of once-in-a-lifetime federal resources designed to develop the new bioeconomy here in Nebraska. This diverse area of economic activity encompasses everything from sustainable aviation fuel to plastics to amino acids, acrylics, the potential of making nylon from corn. All of this can happen in Nebraska. Nebraska is uniquely well-equipped to be the leader in this new economy. We are blessed with the constantly renewed water resources that are not only a natural buffer against drought, but also enable us to grow crops more sustainably than anywhere else, literally in the world. We already produced the building blocks of this new bioeconomy. This will provide more value for our agricultural products, more research and innovation, and more wealth right here in Nebraska. We are the envy of the nation when it comes to our people, our safety, our energy independence, and our food security. Center to it all is our pot of gold, the Ogallala Aquifer, one of the few truly sustainable aquifers in the Western Hemisphere. Our water is the key to our value-added agriculture, the ability to raise more crops per acre while using less energy. Looking ahead, even beyond this session, it is critical that we strengthen our water laws to guarantee that this priceless resource is not diverted to solve water management failures in other parts of the country. We must invest to incentivize ag producers to use less water to raise more. Better measurement tools, more use of technology, and more innovation will enable us to use less water while irrigating more crops right here in Nebraska. With our water being the envy of the world, we cannot allow adversarial foreign interests the ability to take it. That is why I'm partnering with Senator Dekay to modernize Nebraska laws on land ownership to prohibit purchase by adversaries. This bill would tighten up those restrictions and provide a clear directive for enforcement. Additionally, this bill rescinds exemptions for foreign ownership, such as foreign oil, gas, and mineral development in the state. The world is not the same as it was in the 50s. That's the last time these laws have been reviewed. It is imperative to keep enemies in our country from owning land in our state, especially near sensitive military installations. I am also partnering with Senator Boestar to ban enemies like China, North Korea, and Iran from bidding on any public contracts that deal with security-related items like IT, communication networks, and infrastructure. As I close, I want to share with you an incredibly profound moment in my first year as your governor. Early last year, I was privileged to be the first governor to join a conference of Nebraska's tribal leaders in South Sioux City. While there, one of the tribal leaders shared with me what he had learned from his grandfather. But his grandfather taught him that whenever community comes together, wherever we're working, making important decisions for the people's future, that they are guided by their actions, that they have an impact for a long time. And I said, yeah, I get it. And he said, no, Mr. Governor, you don't get it. My grandfather taught us 7 generations. That, I found that incredibly powerful and it impacted me every day since. It's come to be my guide for public service. I hope that it may impact you as we work, that we start thinking about 7 generations. And if you think about it, it's been roughly 7 generations since Nebraska was founded. Just think, some in this room has forefathers that were here. Just think of our forefathers, think of our pioneers who poured their blood, sweat, and tears into this land, not only for themselves, but for their kids and grandkids and for generations to come. Their hard work, their grit, sacrifice, and optimism is totally reflected on who we are today. So as we do the people's business in the days and weeks and months ahead, we should never forget that we are working for the future of generations of Nebraskans so that they may inherit the same safe, strong, and prosperous Nebraska that we enjoy today. If we look beyond localized interests and set politics aside and instead put the best interests of Nebraska as our sole guiding principle, I have no shadow of a doubt that we can win for agriculture, for business, for our taxpayers, for our kids, and for our future. Together we can. And then speaking of an impact for 7 generations, thank you to this body for partnering past session to launch a $5 million investment into mentoring organizations across the state. Because not every kid needs a mentor, every kid deserves one. And the lifetime benefits of mentoring cannot be overstated. And that's why I'm really honored that to be joined today by one that I mentored me. Just an extraordinary, extraordinary public servant of Nebraska, Coach Osborne. Coach has been an incredible leader in creating mentoring opportunities for thousands of kids, and he's just an incredible inspiration to all of us. Will you please join me in recognizing Coach and everything he's done for Nebraska? A couple of us even remember him being a pretty darn good football coach, too. Well, let me finish up by saying thank you for your friendship and your partnership in the service of the people we collectively represent. It goes without saying, none of us here could answer this call to service without the support of our families. Personal sacrifice that everybody makes in this chamber's off the charts. And it couldn't take place without the support of our families. I'm incredibly grateful for mine and for the support of First Lady Suzanne. Thank you, dear. And I have my number one cheerleader, my granddaughter, Hallie, a fifth grader here. Hallie, you stand up and just give everybody a wave, would you? And so thanks to you. And thanks to all your families. Because together, we can make an incredible difference of public service in Nebraska. And let me just finish by what an incredible privilege it is to partner and work with you. And I look forward to the days ahead. God bless you, and God bless the incredible, incredible state of Nebraska. Thank you for the time today.